Oh, she'll come back.
Yeah, she'll come here.
I better save the room.
Yeah.
Just save the whole pain and just pay.
My laws are down. Save the space.
You know, last night you sit there, football game gets over and you're still sitting there. Your eyes are... So I said, I think you want to lock them.
Thank you. morning.
Good morning.
Welcome in Jesus' name. This is the fourth day of the 12 days of Christmas, and we have some really fun texts this morning. Are we not on?
No.
One, two, three. One, two, three. Well, we'll try this one. Are we okay? Okay. Obviously, the sound system is not on, so I'll talk loudly. First of all, my name is Norm Bauer. I am the unofficial official visitation pastor here at St. John's Church. I've had it out before. They got rid of me, and so now they brought me back because they couldn't find anybody else to do it. But anyway, from Lufthus in the bulletin. First of all, the sermon, which is, you know, normally after praising you, the sermon title has been projected upon the music. So we will have a sermon, so I don't know if that's good or bad. You have to take that into consideration. And this morning, it's not in the bulletin, we'll do the piece right after the brief order of confession of forgiveness. Well, maybe this is saving, maybe this is saving the people who are listening over the radio to have to listen to me. Who knows? But having said all of that, so that you have a reason to offer forgiveness to me, during the brief order of forgiveness, I want to share with you a little Ole and Lena joke, and it's kind of appropriate right now with the weather like it is. Ole and Lena were having breakfast one morning, and they're listening to the radio, and the weatherman came over and says, you know, we have a severe storm tonight. There's a snow emergency. You need to park on the odd side of the street. So Ole gets up, puts his coat on, his boots on, goes out, moves his car to the odd side of the street. It wasn't a week or so later, they were doing the same thing, and the weather man says, you need to have your car put on the even side of the street. So Ole gets dressed up, puts his boots and his hat, and goes out and moves his car over to the even side of the street. Then about a month later, the same thing was happening. They were having breakfast. The weather forecast was a blizzard, and the weather man said, you must move, and the radio went dead. So Ole looked to Lena and says, Lena, what should I do? You know, I don't know what side of the street to park my car on during this snow emergency. Lena said to Ole, well, just leave your car in the garage this time. I told you you needed a reason to forgive me for that. And so we begin this day, the first Sunday of Christmas, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Although Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, from whom no secret are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand as we continue on with the brief order of confession. Then we will do the share the peace with our neighbors, and then we'll sing We'll Tell It on the Mountain. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A peace of the Lord be with you always. Let's take a few moments to share that peace with our brothers and sisters around us, and then we'll sing, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." Celebration this morning continues on with the apostolic greeting. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also.
We sing our hymn of praise provided for you in the bulletin, Emmanuel. Join me in the prayer for this occasion on the first Sunday after Christmas, and it's provided for you in the bulletin. Let us pray together. O Lord God, you
cannot place our trust in any power.
As as you protect the infant Jesus, so defend us and all the needy from harm and adversity. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue on with the reading.
Today's reading is from Isaiah chapter 63, verses 7 through 9. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel, that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to his abundance and his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel that his presence that saved them. In his love, in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Here ends the reading.
It's to be expected that there aren't many little ones here this morning, but we'll do a little children's message for those who want to come forward. As the congregation sings, O Come, Little Children. Recovered from Christmas yet? Have you? You haven't? Did you have a good Christmas? So what did you get? Anything you can share? Anything that I would know? What about you? Did you get anything that, what'd you get? What? That's one of those things you don't have to walk? Oh, you can ride it? Is that one of those things that blow up in the middle of the night sometimes? Well, okay. Where do you live at? I want to make sure I mark that down. So, but anyway, what did you get? She got a hoverboard. Well, softball net. You're into that stuff, huh? Huh. You know what I got? I got socks. You know, I'm pretty boring to begin with, so my wife always buys me colorful socks so that people have something else to talk about except about me. So I have socks today that are not quite so colorful. But anyway, you know, what I like about Christmas is the promise that Christmas brings. Now, we don't always get what we want when we Christmas, but that's not the point, is it? The promise is, you know, that God made a promise to Mary, right? The angel came, and God made a promise to Joseph. And then God shared the good news with the shepherds and the angels, and today we hear another story. Today's story is not so much fun. It's not the warm, fuzzy stuff that you get on Christmas Eve, you know, where it wants us to just want to stay by the manger and look at little baby Jesus. This is not a very fun text today. But this is part of the reality of life because, you know, just because you and I celebrated Christmas last week, a lot of things in the world haven't changed, have they? No. And the point for us who are people of faith is that Jesus came into the world to give us hope for the future, for the salvation from our sins. But there are still a lot of evil things in this world, and I'll talk a little bit about that in my sermon. But the promise is, through the water and word of your baptism, you have become God's beloved child. And that's a promise that you and I can live with from now to the end of time, right? So Christmas is about promise and about hope. It's about family and friends, but also about knowing who we are as God's beloved children. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray. I will not have the congregation. They don't have to pray with me. We just give you thanks, gracious God, for this blessing of this day, for the gift of remembering the birth child and the gift of family and friends. We thank you. Now for these young ladies, we thank you for their courage to come forward. We ask you to bless them all this week. Amen. I have suckers. That's the only good thing I get. You get to choose all kinds of suckers. Okay? Merry Christmas to you. Thank you. We'll sing the gospel acclamation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Gospel according to Matthew. Well, after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up and took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I will call my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. They were fulfilled. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because there are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and says, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruler over Judea in place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord. To you who Jesus loves, to you who I love, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For many people, Christmas is over. The presents have been unwrapped. The gatherings with family are mostly complete. It's time to think about next year. But the truth is, the season of Christmas is just beginning. As the old Christmas carol reminds us, there are 12 days in the season of Christmas. And this is a tough sell in a world that we live in where materialism is more important than faith. Clearly, the 12 days of Christmas is not merely about nostalgia and sentiment. Faith confronts the harsh reality of life even as it trusts God's reality. Worship confronts the violence of the world even as we celebrate the birth of the Christ child. During the 12 days of Christmas, worship includes both praise and lamentations. The gospel writer Matthew, obviously, if you're here the first Sunday after Christmas, know a lot about Matthew. And Matthew is writing to predominantly Jewish converts, people who were Jewish and now have start believing in Jesus and wanted to be affirmed that Jesus was the Messiah. So all the way through Matthew this year in the year of A of our lectionary, you'll hear Matthew trying to connect the New Testament with the Old Testament. That's why you heard, you know, the prophecy of Jeremiah. That's why you heard the prophecy, "Out of the land of Egypt my son will come." Matthew is trying to make a point that this person is indeed the Messiah, the one that they had been waiting for. Now, having said all of that, you might be wondering, why do we celebrate this horrible story about Herod killing the little babies in Bethlehem so close to Jesus' death, or birth, excuse me? Well, first of all, to make you feel a little better, historians, biblical scholars, have not found any evidence that such an event like this actually did occur. There are a lot of historical events in Scripture that validate what Scripture says, but there was no massacre under Herod, this Herod or other Herods, and or there was no massacre like this in Jesus' lifetime. But having said that, that doesn't remove you and me from thinking about why did the gospel writer Matthew put this in Scripture? Well, the answer is painful. It's painful for all of us that we like to have proof of things happening. And so when there is a historical fact that goes with a part of Scripture, then we believe that that is true. But when we do not have a historical evidence that goes with what has been written in Scripture, you and I can start to begin to question what's going on. I don't know if you watch TV very much. My heart gets a little disturbed. Did you watch the story about the lady from Clive running over a little African-American boy with her car? Then a little bit later, she ran over a Hispanic-American girl. That tells me that there are a lot of people in this world who are still very, very prejudiced about differences and changes. What about the incidents in Somalia where a truck bomb killed 75 people just because they could do that? How do you, as people of faith, justify those type of violence, acts of violence in our culture? What about all the mass shootings that you and I witness on TV? Kind of like watching a video game. They occur almost in front of us. How do we handle, justify those type of things as people of faith? Why would God allow those things to happen? Well, even from the beginning of time, their evil has been part of the world. Cain and Abel will justify that. Adam and Eve will justify that. But what I've noticed over the last few years of my life, that people of power, when they are confronted with somebody who wants to change the status quo, they become very violent and very particularly protective of their tradition and protective of their own status quo. People do violent things just to protect the very simple thing that God has given to them, the gift of life. But also, in the same way, they take people's life because they think they're intruding upon their freedoms. The point of this passage that we have to deal with this morning is pretty simple. It doesn't matter if there were 5 children or 50 children or 500 children that were killed 2,000 years ago around Bethlehem. Because daily, you and I know that the powers and principles of our broken world kill innocent children all the time. Think about this, brothers and sisters. This is something that we can help. Every 5 seconds in our world, a child dies from hunger. Is that any different than killing the innocent at Bethlehem if you and I do nothing about that? Is that any different? Jesus would challenge us to think about the least of these in this world. When Jesus came into the world, he didn't change things.
The world is still made up of evil people. But the one thing that you and I have, because Jesus came into the world, we have hope. We have hope for this life and for the life to come. So as you begin a new year, I challenge you to look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself one simple question. How can I help so that the innocent do not die because of my neglect? Amen. We sing hymn number 269, Once in Royal David's City. Celebration continues with the Apostles' Creed, followed by the prayers for the church, and after that we'll receive the Lord's offering. Please join with me in the Apostles' Creed as provided for you in the bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Gather with all who seek the Christ child, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Gracious God, you have shown to us your love and your care as you preserve the Christ child from being destroyed by Herod. Help us as we lead the church and we to share that courage and hope with those who have not heard the story of Jesus. Help us to work together to share the good news with other church and other communities of faith. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all those who care for the soil and for those who care for the land. We pray for those farmers that they have completed their harvest and that that things in the trade market will get better for them and for all people who make a living with their hands in the dirt. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for this congregation as we move out into deeper waters each day. We pray for Pastor Russ and as he gets time of renewal today. We pray for his courage to lead. And we pray for the church council and all those persons. And I especially pray for all the Stephen ministers' trainees as they begin to prepare to be commissioned as caregivers for those who are hurting in our community. Lord, in your mercy. And gracious Father, we pray for all of those who are traveling this weekend. We pray for their safe journey home. And we also pray for those that we know that are dealing with difficult issues. We pray for those who are dealing with chronic illness. We pray for those who are recovering from surgery. We pray for those who are dealing with, who are living in convalescent care. We pray for those who are on hospice care. We pray for those who live their life all alone. Lord, in your mercy. And gracious God, you claim us as your children forever. We pray for those who've gone before us in faith, serving as a witness. And we pray for all of those who have lost children in their lives. Lord, in your mercy. And to your gracious hand, we commend all from whom we pray, trusting in your steadfast mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We'll continue on with the offering. Our offering hymn is You Little One, Dear Lord, hymn number 286, as the offering's being taken. Stand and sing our response, or offering response, Take Our Lives. Thank you. Together, let us pray the prayer that our Lord taught us, followed by a few announcements, and then the benediction, and we'll sing Joy to the World. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Just two really short announcements. Thank you for Talene Litterer in sponsoring the flowers in remembrance of Clarence, and for Jaden for music of the broadcast today in memory of Craig. Also, just to note that their annual meeting is on the 19th of January. The youth will be serving a brunch after that. There'll be one worship at 9 and a meeting at 10. Receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. And we ask in the name of the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. And we sing Joy to the World. One piece. Share the good news.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, gentlemen.
you get the ones with the holes in them. Just because they look nice.
No, I didn't know they had holes. I just.
Oh.
You are? Oh, yes, you are.
I mean, you're planning on wearing one of those things around you.
No.
No.
I've got to set this right here so that I just set them on the piano so I forget the point. And then I start playing and go. I have my coat right there.
What?
I have my coat right there.
Okay. Grab your cup.
Okay.